Greetings in the Lord. It is the second day of December in the year of our Lord 2020. You are listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to faith and repentance today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Brothers, we live in a time when there are many lies, many half-truths, many people spinning the truth. The media lies. They get things wrong. Both sides of the political aisle are constantly manipulating truth to fit their sides of the thing. We live in a time, I would say, of mass delusion with shutdown orders based off of overblown issues of COVID. But even that is hard to understand. Where do we even dig in? There's so many different conflicting accounts. It can make a person want to throw their hands in the air and say, "What is truth?" Pontius Pilate once said, "What is truth?" to Jesus. And so we're kind of like that. What is truth? What is true? In our world, everything's relative, right? What's true for you is true for you. What's true for me is true for me. Doesn't matter if they're contradictory. This is kind of how we view things, right? Everybody has their own truths. And yet, we know from Scripture there is an exact truth. There is an exact truth. Luke, writing this gospel account of Jesus Christ, says we may know the exact truth. And how do we know this exact truth? It's found in Scripture. Now, this Scripture is based off of the facts of the world, the fact that God created the universe, the fact that He sent His Son, that His Son walked among us, took on flesh, the fact that there were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word who saw this. Luke, being a physician, a doctor, investigated carefully everything from the beginning so that we would know the exact truth. Brothers, in a world where people are full of lies, there's one place to go, and that is the Scripture, to know the truth. Jesus said His word is truth. May we know the truth, and the truth set us free. And this is one point about the truth, that we must understand that the truth is designed to set us free. We, by our sinful nature, just like our father Adam, have been deceived and believed lies. And our deception is willing deception. Oftentimes we think of deception as just ignorance or good-natured. But when Eve believed the lie of the snake and Adam followed along, this was not good-natured. This was sin. This was being deceived willingly, believing lies. Dear brothers, many of us have believed lies in our lives. And one of the lies that we've believed is that we can continue in sin and everything would be good. That we can strive after our own lusts and desires and the things of the world, and it would not lead us to destruction, but rather to happiness. And as many of us have come to know, this is not the truth. This is not the way. Rather, these lives always lead us to destruction. So, dear brothers, as we come today to receive our instruction from the truth, from God's word, and we lift up our petitions to Him, let us first confess to Him where we have believed lies, where we have accepted the lies of Satan, the lies against God and his goodness and his commands, the lies about the consequences of our disobedience, the lies that we know best. Let us confess them to the Lord and rely on his infinite goodness and mercy for forgiveness, that he may bring us fully to the knowledge of the truth. Let us pray. Lord God, eternal and almighty Father, we acknowledge before your holy majesty that we are poor sinners, conceived and born in guilt and incorruption, prone to do evil, unable of our own power to do good, believing lies, willfully believing lies, accepting them, gobbling them down, and trying to live our life on lies. Lord, because of our sin, we endlessly violate your holy commandments. But you are a good God. So we come to you not bringing anything on our own. Our hands are empty, only covered in blood and the shame of sin. But we do come, repenting, turning away from our offenses. We condemn ourselves in our evil ways, and with true sorrow ask that your grace will relieve our distress. Give us faith in you. Help us to believe. Have compassion on us, most gracious God, Father of mercies, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in removing our guilt, also grant us daily increase of the grace of your Holy Spirit. Produce in us the fruits of holiness and of righteousness pleasing in your sight, and set us free through the truth. And we pray this, we beseech you, by the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Dear brothers, the truth is, the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live. He pardons and absolves all who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Therefore, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, forgive our sins, give us mercy, and open our lips, so that our mouths would show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 137. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion upon the willows in the midst of it, we hung our harps. For there our captors demanded of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, you devastated one, how blessed be the one who repays you with the recompense with which you have repaid us. How blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your little ones against the rock. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Our King and Savior draweth nigh. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Brothers, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Therefore, listen to the Old Testament readings from 1 Kings chapter 20 through 21. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Amen. Now Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all his army, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and fought against it. Then he sent messengers to the city, to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, "Thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine. Your most beautiful wives and your children are also mine." The king of Israel replied, "It is according to your word, my lord, O king, I am yours and all that I have." Then the messengers returned and said, "Thus says Ben-Hadad, surely I sent to you saying, you shall give me your silver and your gold and your wives and your children. But about this time tomorrow, I will send my servants to you, and they will search your house and the house of your servants. And whatever is desirable in your eyes, they will take in their hand and carry away." Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, "Please observe and see how this man is looking for trouble. For he sent to me for my wives and my children and my silver and my gold, and I did not refuse him." All the elders and all the people said to him, "Do not listen or consent." So he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, "Tell my lord the king, all that you sent for to your servant at the first I will do, but this thing I cannot do." And the messengers departed and brought him word again. Ben-Hadad sent to him and said, "May the gods do so to me and more also, if the dust of Samaria will suffice for handfuls for all the people who follow me." Then the king of Israel replied, "Tell him, let not him who girds on his armor boast like him who takes it off." When Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking with the kings in the temporary shelters, he said to his servants, "Station yourselves." So they stationed themselves against the city. Now behold, a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, and said, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver them into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Ahab said, "By whom?" So he said, "Thus says the Lord, by the young men of the rulers of the provinces." Then he said, "Who shall begin the battle?" And he answered, "You." Then he mustered the young men of the rulers of the provinces, and there were 232. And after them he mustered all the people, even all the sons of Israel, 7,000. They went out at noon while Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the temporary shelters with the 32 kings who helped him. The young men of the rulers of the provinces went out first. And Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, "Men have come out from Samaria." Then he said, "If they have come out for peace, take them alive. Or if they have come out for war, take them alive." So these went out from the city, the young men of the rulers of the provinces, and the army which followed them. They killed each his man, and the Arameans fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, escaped on horse with a horseman. The king of Israel went out and struck the horses and chariots and killed the Arameans with a great slaughter. Then the prophet came near to the king of Israel and said to him, "Go, strengthen yourself and observe and see what you have to do. For at the turn of the year, the king Aram will come up against you." Now the servants of the king of Aram said to him, "Their gods are the gods of the mountains. Therefore they were stronger than we. But rather, let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we'll be stronger than they. Do this thing, remove the kings, each from his place, and put captains in their place, and muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse and chariot for chariot. Then we will fight against them in the plain, and surely we will be stronger than they." And he listened to their voice and did so. At the turn of the year, Ben-Hadad mustered the Arameans and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. The sons of Israel were mustered and were provisioned and went to meet them, and the sons of Israel camped before them like two little flocks of goats. But the Arameans filled the country. Then a man of God came near and spoke to the king of Israel and said, "Thus says the Lord, because the Arameans have said the Lord is the God of the mountains, but he is not a God of the valleys, therefore I will give all this great multitude in your hand. And you shall know that I am the Lord." So they camped one over against the other 7 days. And on the seventh day the battle was joined, and the sons of Israel killed of the Arameans 100,000 foot soldiers in one day. But the rest fled to Aphek in the city, and the wall fell on 27,000 men who were left. And Ben-Hadad fled and came into the city, into an inner chamber. His servants said to him, "Behold now, we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Please, let us put sackcloth on our loins and ropes on our heads, and go out to the king of Israel. Perhaps he will save your life." So they girded sackcloth on their loins and put ropes on their heads and came to the king of Israel and said, "Your servant Ben-Hadad says, please let me live." And he said, "Is he still alive? He is my brother." Now the men took this as an omen, quickly catching his word, said, "Your brother Ben-Hadad?" Then he said, "Go, bring him." Then Ben-Hadad came out to him, and he took him up into the chariot. Ben-Hadad said to him, "The cities which my father took from your father I will restore, and you shall make streets for yourself in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria." Ahab said, "And I will let you go with this covenant." So he made a covenant with him and let him go. Now a certain man of the sons of the prophets said to another by the word of the Lord, "Please strike me." But the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, "Because you have not listened to the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as you departed from me, a lion will kill you." As soon as he had departed from him, a lion found him and killed him. Then he found another man and said, "Please strike me." And the man struck him, wounding him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with a bandage over his eyes. As the king passed by, he cried to the king and said, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man to me, and said, 'Guard this man. If for any reason he is missing, then your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' While your servant was busy here and there, he was gone." And the king of Israel said to him, "So shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it." And he hastily took the bandage away from his eyes. And the king of Israel recognized him, that he was of the prophets. He said to him, "Thus says the Lord, because you have let go out of your hand the man whom I have devoted to destruction, therefore your life shall go for his life, and your people for his people." So the king of Israel went to his house sullen and vexed, and came to Samaria. Now it came about after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, beside the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, "Give me your vineyard, that I may have it for a vegetative garden, because it is close by my house. And I will give you a better vineyard than it is in its place. If you like, I will give you the price of it in money." But Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid me that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." So Ahab came into his house sullen and vexed because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." And he lay down on his bed and turned his face and ate no food. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said to him, "How is it that your spirit is so sullen that you're not eating food?" So he said to her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Give me your vineyard for money, or else, if it pleases you, I will give you a vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.' Jezebel his wife said to him, 'Do you now reign over Israel? Arise, eat bread, and let your heart be joyful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.' So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent letters to the elders and to the nobles who were living with Naboth in his city. Now she wrote in the letters, saying, 'Proclaim a fast, and seat Naboth at the head of the people, and seat two worthless men before him, and let them testify against him, saying, "You cursed God and the king," then take him out and stone him to death. So the men of his city, the elders and the nobles who lived in his city, did as Jezebel had sent word to them, just as it was written in the letters which she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth at the head of the people. Then the two worthless men came in and sat before him, and the worthless men testified against him, even against Naboth, before the people, saying, "Naboth cursed God and the king." So they took him outside the city and stoned him to death with stones. They sent word to Jezebel, saying, "Naboth has been stoned and is dead." When Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead." When Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab arose to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, "Thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession?" And you shall speak to him, saying, "Thus says the Lord, in the place where the dog licked up the blood of Naboth, the dogs will lick up your blood, even yours." Abed said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you, and will utterly sweep you away, and will cut off from Ahab every male, both bond and free in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger, and because you have made Israel sin." Of Jezebel also has the Lord spoken, saying, "The dogs will eat Jezebel in the district of Jezreel. The one belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and the one who dies in the field, the birds of heaven will eat. Surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him. He acted very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the sons of Israel." It came about when Ahab heard these words that he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and fasted, and he lay in sackcloth and went about despondently. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but I will bring evil upon his house in his son's days." This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. O God, make speed to save us. Now, brothers, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glorious of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. For of his fullness we have all received in grace upon grace. Therefore, listen to this New Testament reading from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 24, through chapter 13, verse 15. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and be multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their helper. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, "You, who are full of deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidon, Antioch, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Listen to this reading of knowledge and wisdom from the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 21 through 32. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of understanding. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Knowing wickedness is like sport to a fool. So is wisdom to a man of understanding. What the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous is gladness, but the expectation of the wicked perishes. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the upright, but ruin to the workers of iniquity. The righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted. This is the word of the Lord, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, give me to love thee, to embrace thee, though I once took lust and sin in my arms. Thou didst love me before I loved thee, an enemy, a sinner, a loathsome worm. Thou didst own me when I disclaimed myself. Thou dost love me as a son, and weep over me as over Jerusalem. Love brought thee from heaven to earth, from earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave. Love caused thee to be weary, hungry, tempted, scorned, scourged, buffeted, spat upon, crucified, and pierced. Love led thee to bow thy head in death. My salvation is the point where perfect created love and the most perfect uncreated love meet together. For thou dost welcome me, not like Joseph and his brothers, loving and sorrowing, but loving and rejoicing. This love is not intermittent, cold, changeable. It does not cease or abate for all my enmity. Holiness is a spark from thy love, kindled to a flame in my heart by the Spirit, and so it ever turns to the place from which it comes. Let me see thy love everywhere, not only in the cross, but in the fellowship of believers and in the world around me. When I feel the warmth of the sun, may I praise thee, who art the Son of righteousness with healing power. When I feel the tender rain, may I think of the gospel showers that water my soul. When I walk by the riverside, may I praise thee for that stream that makes the eternal city glad, and washes white my robes that I may have the right to the tree of life. Thy infinite love is a mystery of mysteries, and my eternal rest lies in the eternal enjoyment of it. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. We beseech thee and thank thee by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.